Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Mistborn, Allomancer Jack and the Pits of Eltania by Brandon Sanderson. Narrated by Christopher Walker, with performances by Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Bradley Smith, Mort Shelby, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Ken Jackson, and Richard Rowan. Mistborn, Allomancer Jack and the Pits of Eltania.
I begin this week's story as I awake to a mighty headache. Truly, dear listeners, this pain was incredible, and the effect was a din inside my mind, not unlike that of 100 rifles firing. I rolled to my knees in the darkened chamber. My face had been resting upon cold rock. My vision shook and took time to recover. What had happened to me? I remembered my contest with the Kolos Challenger. A brute, sized like a steam rail engine, with strength to match. I had defeated him with a bullet through the eye, had I not? Had I not, in so doing, maintained the loyalty of the entire Kolos clan? I climbed to my feet and felt gingerly at the back of my head. There, I found dried blood. Fear not, for the wound was not terrible. Surely I had weathered far worse. This was not nearly as bad as when I had found myself sinking in the ocean, my arms bound, my feet tied to a metal bust of the survivor as I sank. The arid wind moved through the broken rock that indicated I was still in the roughs, which was good. These lands of adventure and danger are my natural habitat, and I thrive upon the challenge they provide. If I were to spend too long in the safe and mundane environment of Milky Elendel, I fear I would wilt away. My enclosure was a natural cavern of some sort, with rough stone walls and drooping stalactites on the ceiling. The cavern was shallow, however, and I found that it ended only a few feet back from my initial position. I would not be escaping in that direction, then. Cautious of potential gunfire, I edged to the front of the cavern and looked out. As I had guessed from the slight chill to the air, I was elevated. My cavern was on the wall of a small canyon, and the mouth opened only to a steep drop onto a group of rounded rocks far below. Across from me, atop the ridge on the other side of the canyon, a group of blue figures watched my cavern. The hulking Kolos were older ones, their skin stretched and broken, their bodies tattooed and draped with leather created from the skin of the men they had slain and eaten.
Why have you stranded me here, dread beasts? And what have you done with the fair Elizandra Dramali? If you have harmed one hair upon her ever-beauteous scalp, you shall know the fury of an Allomancer enraged.
The savages sat around their smoldering fire and did not even turn in my direction. Perhaps my situation was not as ideal as I had decided upon my first assessment. The canyon wall outside my cavern was as slick as glass and was as steep as the price of whiskey at Marley's Waystop. I surely could not survive an attempt to climb down, not dizzy as I was from the wound. But neither could I simply wait. Miss Dramali, my dear Elizandra, might surely be in danger. Curse that woman and her headstrong ways. She should have remained at camp as instructed. I had no idea what might have happened to her, nor to faithful Handorwim. The Kolos would not dare harm him because of their vow to the Terrace people, but surely he feared for my safety. I gave little thought to how I had reached this dire location. I needed metal. My system was clean of it. I had burned the last to steady my hands and eyes as I took the perfect shot at the Kolos Challenger to my throne. Unfortunately, my captors had stolen Glint. Brutes though they are, the Koloss are wise enough to take the guns from a man, particularly after seeing my skill with my trusty sidearm. They had also taken my vials of metal. Perhaps they wanted to see if those contained whiskey. Some rough salamancers do store their metals in such solutions, but I have always abstained from the process. The mind of a gentleman adventurer needs to retain clarity at all times. Surely the hidden pouch of tin in the heel of my boot would serve me. By misfortune, however, the heel's hidden compartment seemed to have been knocked open during my initial scuffle with the Koloss champion. I had lost the pouch. I made a note to myself to speak with Renette about her heel contraption and its tendency to open unexpectedly. Disaster! An Allomancer without metal! I was left with only my own wits as a tool. Those, though of no small measure, might not be enough. Who knew what kind of trouble the fair Alessandra might be in at this point? Determined, I began to feel about the cavern. It was an unlikely chance, but we were in Highlands, prized precisely because of their keen mining opportunities. Aha! Indeed, the survivor favored me this day, for I located a small, glimmering strain of metal along the far wall. Almost invisible, I discovered it only by touch. In the dim cavern, I could not judge the metal's full nature, but I had no other options. Now, I have found from my infrequent trips to Elendil that I am regarded with a somewhat heroic reputation. I must assure you, good listeners, that I am but a humble adventurer, not deserving of an unduly idolized status. That said, while I have never wished for glory, I do value my reputation. Therefore, if I could remove from your memories the image of this next part of my narrative, I would do so. However, it has ever been my goal to present to you a sincere and unexpurgated account of my travels in the roughs. Honesty is my greatest virtue. And so, I offer you the truth of what needed to happen next. I knelt down and began to lick the wall. I would not ever wish to look foolish before you, dear listeners. A man must be willing to seize opportunity. I did so with my tongue. This activity gave me very little tin to burn, but it was enough for a few moments of enhanced senses. I used them to listen with care for some clue as to how I might escape this situation. I peeked out of my cavern and saw that the rocks below hid a small stream that I had not seen earlier. Then I looked up, hopeful, and there found a crow perched among a sprout of weeds growing from the rocky wall. Could it be?
Well done! You have found metal even in your prison, Jack. The survivor is pleased by your ingenuity.
It was her, Lindip, my spirit guide, sent by the survivor to me during my most difficult times of trial. I have long suspected her to be one of the faceless immortals, as the legends speak of them being able to change forms and take the bodies of animals. Lindip! Is Mistress Molly well? The Koloss have not harmed her.
They have not, bold adventurer. But she is captured by them and is being held. You must escape, and quickly, for a dire fate awaits her.
But how am I to escape?
I cannot give you the method. I am a guide, but I cannot solve a hero's problems for him. It is not the way of the survivor, who deems that all men must make their own way.
Very well. But tell me, guide, why was I taken captive again? Had I not earned the loyalty of the Koloss clan? Was I not their king? I defeated the challenger. I am certain my frustration shone through, and I hope you do not think less of me, dear listener, to hear such harsh words spoken to my spirit guide. However, I was not only concerned for the safety of my dear Alessandra, but was also devastated to lose the loyalty of this tribe of Koloss. Savages though they are, they had seemed close to revealing their secrets to me. Secrets I was certain would lead me to the symbol of the spearhead, the bloody footprints, and the survivor's treasure.
I do not know for certain, but I suspect it was because you used a gun to kill the challenger. Previously, in winning the loyalty of the clan, You did not shoot your rival, but frightened him off with the placement of your bullet. Many Kolas clans see killing at a distance with guns to be a sign of weakness, not strength.
Ruthless beasts. Savages indeed. The gun is the most elegant of weapons, the weapon of a gentleman.
I must escape and rescue the fair Elisandra. Guide, did you see how I reached this cavern prison? Do the Kolas have a secret passage somewhere? And did they bring me up here by that method?
I saw, adventuresome one. But the truth is not what you will wish to hear. There was no secret passage. Instead, you were thrown up here by some Kolas below.
Rust and ruin.
Undoubtedly, the beasts, afraid of the powerful weapons I had used, had placed me here to die of starvation, rather than risking the anger of their gods by killing me with their own hands. I needed a way out, and quickly. I looked out again and noticed storm clouds in the near distance. This started me thinking. I glanced down at the trickle of water in the canyon floor below. As I had noticed, the sides of this canyon were particularly smooth, as if weathered. Yes, I spotted distinctive lines on the canyon walls, water lines, from when the river ran bold and deep. My avenue of escape was soon to come. Indeed, the rains dumped on the plains upstream, and water soon surged into the canyon, and, propelled by the narrower confines here, the river began to swell. I waited nervously for the right moment to enter the river, and in my waiting, found time, despite my anxiety, to pen this letter to you. I sealed it in the special waterproof pocket of my rugged trousers, with the hope that if I should meet my end, it would find its way to you somehow once my body was found. As rain began to fall on the canyon itself, I could wait no longer. I hurled myself into the risen waters below.
My listeners, I trust this message finds you well. As you may recall, last week's missive ended with a dangerous leap on my part toward a watery doom. I was certain that my time had come. But I am somewhat pleased to say that I have survived. Only somewhat, because of the revelation that I must soon impart unto you. If you must read on, be warned. The contents of this letter are dreadful and might produce discomfort, even sickness, in the more frail and youthful among you. I did leap from my cavern prison into the rising waters of the river. I must severely advise my listeners against this kind of activity, unless presented with the most dire of circumstances. The waters of a Ruffs-style flash flood are dangerous, full of eddies and deadly rocks. If I had been presented with any other option, I surely would have taken it. The waters churned around me like a stampede. Fortunately, I had experience with surviving waters of this nature. The key to swimming in waters such as these is to not fight. One must travel with the current, as a ship allows the sea to pull it. Still, even keeping afloat in such a tempest requires practice, luck, and force of will. With strength of arm, I managed to steer myself around the most deadly of rocks and survive as the waters of my small tributary merged with the greater waters of the Rancid, the greatest river of the area. Here, the larger amount of water caused slower currents, and I managed with some difficulty to swim to the shore and pull myself free. Exhausted, still dizzy from my wound, I flopped to the bank of the river. No sooner was I free, however, than a set of strong arms hauled me into the air. Kolas, I had been captured again. The beasts hauled me, sopping wet, away from the river. I left a trail of water in the dust. I did not fight against my captors. There were six of them, medium-sized Kolas, their blue skin starting to pull tight across their bodies, ripping at the sides of the mouths and around the largest of muscles. They did not speak to me in their brutal tongue, and I knew I could not defeat six at once.
not without my guns and without metal.
I deemed it better to let them drag me where they wished. Perhaps I would be placed back in my cavern prison. Instead, the Koloss carted me toward an incongruous stand of trees, hidden within a small valley of rocks.
I had never come to this location before.
Indeed, the Koloss had always steered me away from this area, claiming that it was a wasteland. From whence, then, did come the trees? The trees hid a small oasis in the dusty ground, a place where water welled up in a natural spring.
I found this curious, as prime watering holes are usually marked on my maps.
They drug me past the trees and around the watering hole, and I saw that it was very deep, so deep that the depths were blue, and I could not make out a bottom. The sides were all of stone, and with a start, I realized that the pool was shaped vaguely like a spearhead. Could this be it? The location of the survivor's treasure? Had I found it at long last? I looked for the other sign, that of the bloody footprints spoken of in the legends. I did not see them, until my wet form was dragged across the stones nearest to the pool. If you travel long in the roughs, you will find that water sometimes reveals the true color of stone. This is not so much the case in the city, where many of you live, dear listeners, as the stones are covered in grime and soot. But here, the land is clean and fresh. The water my body dripped on the stones revealed a pattern in the rock, not unlike that of a set of footprints leading into the oasis pool. This was it. Though not true footprints, I could see how a weary traveler reaching this location might mistake them for such. The invented story of the survivor himself, bleeding from his spear wound and stopping here to drink, made sense. The place was accoutred with Koloss tattoo designs traced on the rocks and had their leatherwork wrapping some of the tree trunks. This was obviously a holy place for them, which explained both the reason I had never heard of this oasis and the reason men had vanished in this area. Any who stumbled across this spot were murdered for having witnessed what they should not. What did it say for my future that they had brought me here? There were more Koloss here, of course. Some were so ancient that they had burst their skin completely. These sat wrapped in leather to contain the slow seeping of blood from their flesh. If you have never seen a Koloss ancient, consider yourself lucky. Their immensity of size is only matched by the strangeness of their features. Lacking noses or lips, their eyes bulging from faces of red flesh. Most Koloss die of heart attacks before reaching this state. These would continue to grow, even after losing their skin, until that fate claimed them. In ancient times, ones such as these would be killed. In modern days, however, elderly Koloss are revered, or so I had learned, but only through stories. I suspect that the locations where all tribes keep their elders are as holy as this one. My guards deposited me before the ancients. I climbed to my knees, wary.
You have come. You are not human.
You have bested our leader and killed all challengers.
What will you do with me?
I forced myself to my feet. Sodden and dazed though I was, I would meet my fate head on.
You will be killed. It will be according to the will of the daughter of the one who challenged you.
You must join us.
Join you? How?
All Koloss were once human.
I had heard such statements before. And dear listeners, I realize that I disparaged them to you. I considered them silly and fanciful. It is with a heavy heart that I must tell you that I was wrong. So very wrong. I have since learned the terrible truth. The ancients are right. Koloss are people. The process is terrible. To initiate a man into their ranks, they take him and pin him with small spikes of metal. This creates a mystical transformation, during which the man's mind and identity are savagely weakened. In the end, the person becomes as dull and simple as the Koloss. Koloss are not born. Koloss are made. Their barbarity exists inside of all of us. Perhaps this was what Dear Handerwim was trying to tell me. They said that I had to join them. Was this to be my final end? To live my life as a brute in a distant village, my mind lost.
You spoke of the daughter of the one who challenged me. Who is this?
Me.
I turned and found Elizandra Dramali emerging from behind some trees nearby. She no longer wore her dress, and instead was wrapped in leathers that only just covered up her most intimate parts. Indeed, a full description of her figure would be too shocking for my more sensitive listeners, and so I will forbear. She still wore her spectacles, and her golden hair was pulled back into its customary tail. But her skin was now a shade of blue, such as I had never before seen. Elizandra, fair Elizandra, was Koloss blooded.
This can't be!
I stared at my beautiful Elizandra, the woman I had grown to love and cherish above all others, the woman who had somehow hidden her true nature from me all this time. Elizandra was Koloss blooded. I wish I did not have to write these words to you, my stalwart listeners, but they are true. True as my poor heart bleeds. True as the ink on this page.
Makeup. As you can see, the blue cast to my skin is light compared to some Koloss blooded. Clever use of powders and gloves have allowed me to hide what I am.
But your mind!
I stepped toward her.
You think and have wit, unlike these beasts.
I moved to reach toward her, but hesitated. Everything I knew about this woman was a lie. She was a monster. Not my fair, wonderful noblewoman, but a creature of the wilds, a murderer, and a savage.
Jack, I am still me. I was born to Koloss, but I have not accepted the transformation. My mind is as keen as that of any human. Please, my dear one, see past this skin and look into my heart.
I could resist no longer. She might have lied, but she was still my Elizandra. I stepped into her embrace and felt her sweet warmth in this time of confusion.
You are in grave danger, loved one. They will make you one of them.
Why?
You frightened away their chief and ruled the clan despite the challenges we provided. Finally, you killed their greatest champion, my mother.
The champion was a woman?
Of course. Didn't you notice?
I glanced at the gathered Koloss, who wore loincloths, but generally no tops. If there was a way to distinguish the males from the females other than, peeking, I did not know it. In fact, I'd rather not have known that some of them were women. My crusty, wind-weathered cheeks did no longer often blush, for the things I've seen would rub your delicate minds raw. But if I'd been capable of a blush, I might have given one at that moment. I am sorry, then, for killing her. I looked back to Elizandra, who still held me.
She chose her own course in life, and it was one of brutality and murder. I do not mourn her. But I will mourn you should you be taken into their embrace, dear one. They speak of this being my will, but it is certainly not, though they will not listen to my protests.
Why did they lock me away to die in that cavern?
It was a test, a final challenge. They would have freed you after 3 days if you had not escaped, but as you managed to, you have proven worthy to join their ranks and become their new chief in full. But to do so, you must undergo the transformation. You will lose most of yourself instead of becoming one of them, a creature of instinct.
I had to escape, then. This fate would be worse than death. It would be a death of the mind. Though I have gained a great respect for the Koloss savages, I had no intention of ever joining them. You steered me here. I looked toward Alessandra. Ever since we found you in these roughs, you have been guiding me toward this tribe. You knew of this pool.
I suspected from your descriptions of what you sought, this was the location of the treasure. But I did not know for certain. I had never been to the Holy Pool. Jack, once they transform you, they plan to do the same to me against my will. I have resisted this all of my life. I would not let them take my mind as a youth. I will not allow it now.
Enough talk! You will be transformed!
One of the ancients reached out a trembling, bloody hand, holding in his palm a handful of small spikes.
No, there is no need, for I am already one of you.
Elisandra's hand tightened on my arm.
What?
It is the only plan I can think of.
I am Kolas.
Not possible. You are not blue. You have not the way.
I slew your champion. What more proof do you need? Would an ordinary human be strong enough to do this?
Gun. It takes not strength to use a gun.
Well then, I will prove it in a final test. For I will bring you the treasure of the survivor.
Not possible. Even strongest Kolas have failed.
Then if I succeed, you will know I have told the truth.
I was setting myself up for certain death. I wish I could tell you that bravery steered my lips that day, but it was truly just desperation. I spoke of the only thing that occurred to me, the only thing that would let me delay. If the legends were true, then the treasure was hidden opposite the sky, raised only by life itself. Opposite the sky must mean at the bottom of the pool. So far down, I could not see it. I would have to dive in and recover the treasure.
Not possible.
I will prove it possible.
Jack, you're a fool.
A fool I might be, but I will not let them take me to be a Kolas.
She pulled me into her suddenly and kissed me. Very little in life shocks me, dear listeners. But that moment achieved the impossible. She had been so cold to me at times that I was certain my affection would go unrequited. But this kiss, as deep as the pool beside us, as true as the survivor's own teachings, as powerful as a bullet in flight, and as incredible as a bullseye at 300 yards. The passion in it warmed me, casting off the chill of my sodden clothing and the fear of a trembling heart. When she finished, metal flared to life inside of me. Though not an allomancer, she had poured some tin dust in her mouth, passing it to me in the kiss. I pulled back, marveling. You're amazing.
Well, damn, Jack. You've finally gone and said something smart for once.
I picked the largest rock I could carry, then leaped into the pool and allowed the rock to pull me downward. It was deep, unfathomably deep. The darkness soon swallowed me. Dear listeners, you must imagine this complete darkness, for I do not believe I can do it justice. To be consumed by the blackness is itself a remarkable experience. But to be in the waters as light flees, there is something incredibly horrifying about such an experience. Even my steel nerves gave way to trembling as my descent continued. A terrible pain struck my ears, though whether this was from my wound, I know not. I dropped for what seemed like forever, until my lungs were burning, my mind growing numb. I nearly let go of my rock. I could not think. My wound threatened to overwhelm me, and though I could not see, I knew that my vision was growing cloudy. My body was failing me as I plummeted toward unconsciousness. I knew that I would die in these unseen depths. At that moment, I thought of Alessandra being turned into a Kolas, losing the beautiful wit that so charmed me. This thought gave me strength, and I flared my tin. Flare 10 brings clarity of mind, as I have said before. I have never welcomed it as much as I did then. Those moments of lucidity forced away the shadow upon my mind. I felt the coldness of the water, and the pain in my head seemed incredible, but I was alive. I hit the bottom. Not daring to release my rock weight, I felt about me with one hand, frantic. My lungs burned like flared metals. Was it here? Yes, it was. Something square and unnatural. A box of metal. A strong box? I tried to lift it and managed to make it budge, but it was as heavy as my rock. With dismay, I realized that I could never carry this up to the surface. My body was too weak. Swimming with such a weight was more than I could accomplish. Was I to fail then? If I reached the surface without the treasure, perhaps they would simply kill me, or perhaps they would make me like them. Either way, I would be finished. I worked again to lift the box, but could swim only a few feet. I had no air, no strength. It was useless. And then, I remembered the poem. Opposite the sky, you shall find it, and it shall be raised only by life itself. Life itself. What was life down here? Air. I fumbled at the sides of the box and found a latch which released some kind of object. It felt leathery, like a water skin. I breathed into it, giving up all of the air in my lungs, air which no longer sustained me, but which might still serve me. Then I kicked off of the bottom, my metal spent, my air expended. Eternity. I burst from the surface of the pool as my vision clouded again. I saw only a moment of light before darkness snatched me back. But soft hands grabbed me and hauled me free of the water before I could sink to my doom. I smelled Elizandra's perfume and recovered to the sight of her concerned face, cradling my head in her lap. The view of her leather costume from beneath was not particularly proper, but also not unappreciated.
You fool.
He has failed.
At that very moment, something bobbed to the surface of the pool. It appeared to be an inflated bladder of some sort, perhaps from a sheep. I reached into the water and grabbed the strongbox that floated underneath. The kolos crowded around as I knelt beside the box and worked at the lock. Elizandra produced the key we had found in Maelstrom's mine, and it fitted exactly. Inside were spikes. I looked to Elizandra, confused.
New spikes, many of them. With these, my tribe can grow. They were losing the wars with those nearby. My tribe has always been the smallest of those in the area. This will grow them by the dozens. It is a true treasure to them.
I sat back on my heels. I will express some regret to you, dear listeners. I travel not for wealth, but for the joy of discovery and the opportunity to share the world with you. But still, this was not the treasure I had hoped to discover. A handful of small spikes? This was what I had searched for months upon months to find? This was the fabled wealth left by the survivor himself?
Do not look so morose, dear ones.
Elizandra dumped the spikes for the ancients to take. She pulled back with me as they gathered around. It appeared that the two of us had been forgotten in the excitement.
It seems we have our lives restored to us.
Indeed. The kolos did not stop us as we fled. We quickly left the small oasis valley, making toward the river and, hopefully, the rest of our caravan. I still found myself disappointed. It was then that I noticed something. The box Elizandra carried hadn't tarnished much from what had undoubtedly been over 3 centuries spent under the waters. I gestured for her to hand it to me, and I buffed at the surface of the lid. Then, I blinked in surprise.
What?
She stopped in the path.
Pure aluminum, my dear. Worth thousands.
We have found our treasure after all. And it is here, my listeners, that I must end the account of my travels in the pits of Eltania. The treasure found, our lives lost and then recovered, I had fulfilled the dying wish of dear fallen Mikaf. It was my grandest adventure yet, and I believe I will rest for a short time before striking out again. I have been hearing of strange lights in the southern skies that can only hide another mystery. Until then, adventure on.
Mistborn, Alamancer Jack and the Pits of Eltania is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2016 by Dragonsteel Entertainment, LLC, all rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author. Production copyright 2018, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Christopher Walker as Alamancer Jack, Colleen Delaney as Elizandra Dramali, and Nanette Savard as Lindip, with Bradley Smith, Mort Shelby, Rose Elizabeth Supan, Ken Jackson, and Richard Rowan. Adapted for Graphic Audio and directed by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed Mistborn, Alamancer Jack and the Pits of Eltania, be sure to look for the Spellsinger series by Alan Dean Foster, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloads and podcasts. And remember to check out the Graphic Audio Story Podcast, Gasp, available on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,000 titles and 100 series to choose from in high-quality download formats. If you'd like to listen to an entire series, you can now conveniently purchase a download series set from GraphicAudio.net. At GraphicAudio.net, you can also earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable towards future online purchases. You can stream or get full downloads directly to your mobile phone or tablet with our newly updated Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. And be sure to listen to our new free Graphic Audio Story Podcast, Gasp, featuring all new serialized episodes of a complete full-length story, along with episodes that feature short stories in our Graphic Audio format. Once you do, we're confident you'll want to subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and recommend us to your friends and family. You can subscribe to Gasp through Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, and RSS feeds. Coming this fall, look for Graphic Audio Streams, our new streaming subscription service. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net.